out there with a little feather, with a, and trying to have hot plant relations with a little feather. It just won't work. So we should celebrate the insects, because without them, we'll be eating a diet that consists entirely of tubers. Ugh.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. The head of the Prison Officers Association has told LBC he believes a weapon used to stab a prison officer was probably delivered by a drone. Police say the 25-year-old suffered serious injuries at HMP Long Larton in Worcestershire. The Ministry of Justice has declined to comment on the specific claim. LBC's George Ike says the Shadow Justice Secretary, Robert Jenrick, has condemned the attack.
He's written in a post on X, "In January, I warned drones could deliver a weapon to a prisoner and summon the prison minister to Parliament. It's reported that has happened and an officer has been stabbed. It's the result of shameful inaction. Our prison officers are lions led by donkeys."
A man's been arrested after a Greater Manchester police sergeant was injured during an alleged hit and run. It's believed his legs were crushed between two vehicles when a car reversed into the officer several times in Rusholme on Friday evening. President Trump has said farewell to Elon Musk during a news conference in the Oval Office. He's left the role at the Department of Government Efficiency, but says he will continue to advise the administration. White House correspondent for The Independent, Andrew Feinberg, has been telling LBC many will be glad to see him go.
What he leaves behind is a lot of carnage, a lot of broken government agencies, jobs that were lost when he and his people basically dismantled whole agencies overnight for little to no reason. Broken aid programs, foreign aid programs.
The BBC's been ordered to pay damages to the former Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams for defamation. He's won a libel case over allegations he sanctioned the killing of a former party official, which he denies. The broadcaster says it's disappointed and has been ordered to pay £84,000. Mr. Adams spoke to reporters outside the High Court in Dublin.
"I'm very mindful of the Donaldson family in the course of this long trial, and indeed of the victims' families who have had to watch all of this."
And a man's being jailed after trying to steal jewels worth nearly £200,000 from Claridge's Hotel in central London. 37-year-old Jay McGinty launched smoke grenades into the lobby and smashed a display cabinet with a sledgehammer, but was stopped by security guards. LBC weather, breezy overnight with a risk of showers in the north and the west, dry and mainly clear in the south and the east, with a low of around about 5 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
What in blazes goes on inside that head of yours?
Yeah, don't ask. Austin says, whatever about tomatoes throwing. I think he means like, whatever.
Yeah, it's like so boring, whatever.
Like that. He says, check out this festival in Murcia in Spain. It's the Fiesta de la Vendimia, a wine harvest festival in Murcia in Spain. It's a major event that celebrates the region's wine production by throwing barrels of wine over everybody. By which I don't mean the actual barrels themselves. They empty the barrels of local wine and pour it over everybody. What for? Why would they do that? I'd have it. I mean, at the very least, I could help. I'm always ready to help. You're welcome. Let's see now. South Norwood. Hello, Philip.
Oh, good evening.
Oh, yes, Philip.
I don't know if you've heard the news, Dick, but there's a new naked gun waiting to come out.
Oh, haven't they got...
It's Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, yeah.
Yeah, it's due out, I checked up, it's due out on the 8th of August, and it's got Pamela Anderson in it as well. I've seen trailers for it, Nick, and it's weird. Oh, really, really. I mean, the series, I mean, the original Police Squad.
Yes.
With that, well, I used to like, but at the end when they all froze, you know, at the end of the, whether it was the free. Yeah, it's coming out, and it'll be interesting to see what the people who've never seen it make of it.
Yes, I've seen an advert for it, and he's wearing like a schoolgirl uniform.
That's it, yes. That's the one I've seen.
Yeah, with panties, and it looks a bit odd.
There's a bank raid taking place.
That's right.
And this girl comes in, yes. And it turns out...
Spoiler alert!
Sorry, I know you don't like spoilers. One other thing, Nick, I've been watching... I watch a lot of YouTube, and I've been watching a couple of reports from Point Roberts in America. Have you heard about Point Roberts?
Who's that?
Well, Point Roberts is a place, not a person. And it's a little piece of America that is separated from the rest of America by Canada.
Oh, yeah.
It's in Washington State. You see, there's a little piece of land that is a sort of... I don't know how to describe it, but to get to anywhere else in America, you have to come out of Point Roberts, go through Canada, and then go through the customs again to get into Washington State.
Yeah, is it an island?
Well, it's not an island, Nick. It's joined to Canada. They don't know how it came about.
I'm going to look it up on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, and so what they've been doing reports on the effect of the tariffs, you see.
Right.
Because of the people... It's a typical place where people interchange, walk over the border, pop over, you see your friends in Canada. A lot of the people have got dual citizenship, you see. So, yeah, I was watching the couple of reports from American TV stations on how it's been affected. And it seems to affect the Americans more than it does the Canadians.
All I'm coming up with is islands.
It's not an island, Nick. It's a sort of, I don't know how to describe it. It's a piece of land that is part of Canada.
Yes.
But it's America. The border goes across the top of it, Nick. Is that a good way to describe it?
That is a good way to describe it. If only the map I'm looking at right now showed borders, but weirdly it doesn't.
You have to go through the border at the top of Point Roberts.
Oh, look, there's a place called Abbotsford near Vancouver. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow. I don't know if you got it, Nick, but I said you were... a piece of YouTube with Chuck Mangione. Chuck Mangione wrote a great TV theme many years ago called Side Street.
Yeah, and he killed that guy who runs a health company. You believe that?
Yeah, I was doing the series, one of those late night series that they used to buy on ITV for late nights. Mm. It's set in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I always remember that theme because it was such a, distinctive theme.
Right.
They had this guy on from Australia, Nick.
Yes.
Well, when I went down there for the very first time in 73, I went to Sydney and I went to Bondi Beach. Now, this is April, and I went on the beach, Nick. Beautiful, sunny day. Got some fish and chips, sat on the beach. I was the only person who was sitting on the beach that day.
Do they do fish and chips in Australia?
Oh, yeah. I could put our fish and chips pies. And I bought fish and chips, sat on the beach, Nick.
What do they eat with it? Because if you have chips in Belgium, they put mayonnaise all over
cold
it.
Coleslaw.
Ugh.
I had coleslaw with mine. And I'm sitting there, Nick, and one of the lifeguards, I don't know why he was on duty, I was the only one on the beach, he come up to me, Nick, and he said to me, excuse me, he said, are you a pom? So I said, yes, I am. So he said, what? I said, why? He said, well, you're the only bloke sitting on the beach. He said, it's winter. I said, no, it's not. I said, it's autumn. Yeah, I was the only person.
It's probably your bright white translucent skin tipped him off. Yeah.
Well, I'm the only person sitting on Bondi on the beach that day.
Having coleslaw, getting sand in your salad.
And
awful.
I was surrounded, Nick, and they didn't attack me, by about 12 or 13 seagulls.
Right.
And they were sitting, this was before they became really aggressive, I think,
Well, they were probably waiting for you to put down your guard.
Yes, as I say, Australia. I mean, I don't think you've been there, have you, Nick?
No, I have not, but I feel like I have. I know everything I need to know about Australia, and that is that it contains all of the most poisonous and deadly things on Earth.
I've never seen any deadly.
Well, you are lucky to get out of there alive, Philip, believe me.
It's great. I mean, that and New Zealand are two really great.
Well,
countries.
New Zealand, I could go to New Zealand if it wasn't so far away. If somebody dragged it nearer, then I'd go to New Zealand quite happily because they got nothing there but scenery. But Australia, on the other hand, they got spiders as big as Volkswagens. Nobody wants to go there. All right, good work. Thanks a lot, Philip. Quentin in Nottinghamshire says, Nick, we just got in after an 8-hour drive from... No, I've read that one. Oh, my God, this again. Lucy in Balham says, rather than trying to understand whether reform voters like Farage, we should ask them whether they like being their own worst enemies. See, this is the kind of thing that makes them want to vote for Nigel Farage even more. To stick it to the Libs. It's mystifying to me, really. I mean, Nigel Farage, name me one thing that he has ever promised that has actually come true. One. I'll make it super easy for you. Just one. And people believe him, and then it doesn't come true, and then they believe him the next time, and then that doesn't come true, and they believe him the next time, and that doesn't come true either. And they conclude from that that the best thing to do is to believe him again, because, you know, the next thing is bound to come true. But no. Amazing, really. It's just kind of extraordinary. And then they'll say, but he tells it like it is. what is happening to the world? That would be a good question to have from now to the end of time. That would be the topic for tonight. What the hell is happening? Here's a person who can tell us. Oldbury. Hello, Ranjit.
Nick, you're right.
Yes, good, thanks.
Good, good, good. I want to talk about Jenrick, Starmer and Farage here. But just before I go on that... Yeah,
but just before you... Just before you go on that, do you serve coleslaw with fish and chips?
No. Cause hardly anybody ever asked for it. Yeah.
Coleslaw? I don't know. I mean, that sounds like... that doesn't sound like a bad idea because it's, you know, it's got the sauce part.
Yeah.
So you don't really need the ketchup. Although ketchup and coleslaw is a pretty good combination. But it also gives that... gives it a bit of wet. You know, sometimes you need a bit of wet.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, we got grocery stores opposite us. If somebody wants any coleslaw, so just go across there, mate. You know what I mean?
I don't know. That doesn't sound like good customer relations. Get out of my store and go and shop somewhere else.
No, if it was something popular, then we'd do it. But we do a salad, right? We do.
What's in the salad? Is that a perfunctory salad? Just a little bit of green, like wilted green lettuce that found at the bottom of the fridge, something like that.
Yeah, but don't tell anybody.
I'm not telling anybody.
We do lettuce, tomatoes, cabbage, onion, and cucumber. Yeah, and for some reason, when anybody wants to not have something, it's always tomatoes. They always say, "Can you hold the tomatoes?" They say, "Okay." You know, most of the things they have the onions and everything else.
I think it's the. I think it's not the tomato itself. It's because they probably like pizza, which is a tomato sauce, and they'll like ketchup, but they just don't like the feel of it, the mouth feel of a tomato. It's a bit icky.
I like tomatoes, but when I have too much, I get a bit of gout in my toes, so I have to cut back on it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Tomatoes? Yeah. I thought port gave you gout.
No, I never have port, but I think tomatoes, as somebody was telling me, just trying to hold it.
Well, the stuff you learn on this show, tomatoes are very dangerous.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I remember Trump, right? He called some senator Pocahontas, yeah?
Yes, that's right. It was Elizabeth Warren, I think.
Yeah. Look, we should have a whip round, yeah? I dare any reporter to call him Clyde.
Clyde?
Yeah, Clyde, after the orangutan in Any Which Way But Lose.
Well, that's a $5 million lawsuit right there.
Somebody should call him Clyde. Somebody called him Taco today, but call him
Clyde. That's right. I'll repeat that. I do find it amazing that the people are talking about that reporter who just was reporting the facts as being very brave, as though America now has become a third world dictatorship, that they take reporters out who diss the dear leader and they execute them. They strap them over a cannon and blast away.
Yeah. What we can do is I can go into, I can be hidden, right? She could say, well, you know, protective, whatever it's called, yeah? She could say, well, I've heard that somebody called Ranjit from London, right? We could say Copenhagen, right? From Copenhagen has said that, are you related to Clyde, mate? You know what I mean? That's what Ranjit thinks and be what he says.
They're going to track you down. Doesn't matter whether you say you're from London or Copenhagen. Don't make no, never mind, Ranjit. They know where you live.
Okay. About Nigel Farage and Jenrick, yeah? Okay. Jenrick now is copying what Nigel Farage done. Farage used to go down with his Fisher-Price binoculars to the coast, yeah?
That's right.
Right. As James O'Brien always says.
There's
right.
one.
Yeah. They're filming all these people, yeah?
Yeah.
And he's gone with his little phone camera and his gang, yeah?
Boat doing spotting.
These, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one.
Right, that one. So he's trying to do the same thing. Oh, man, you guys have been affected by this, that and the other, but yet again, £45 million was saved by your mate on that housing contract. How many people that would have fed? Yeah,
it's so nakedly look at me. I mean, it reeks of desperation. I mean, I know it's entirely possible that he wants the top job, and he was cruelly denied it because those geniuses of the Conservative Party membership, they chose the wrong one again, Liz.
Absolutely,
you believe that? Yeah. They just keep making the same stupid mistake over and over again. And, the man lost weight and he got a new suit and everything. What more does he have to do?
Yeah, and then, like Farage, yeah, he can say whatever he wants, right, because he ain't, well, he possibly isn't going to get in, yeah? Okay, so, well, and Keir Starmer should not rise to the occasion at
yes,
all.
Yes, that's right. You shouldn't even talk about him.
Yeah, when lions are fully fed, hyenas can run around them and the lion would not even take a look at them and say, mate, I'm fed, I'm not hungry yet. Come back when you're hungry, then I'll see you. That's what he should do. During the election campaign, Salman hardly said anything and people were having a go at him saying, oh, he's not saying anything. You know what? Softly, softly, catch a monkey. Now, he should let Farage, Jenrick and Bedinok argue amongst themselves, burn themselves out over the next 2 years, and when he comes in, pounce and just get everything.
I don't know why he's wasting his time on that now. This is not the run-up to a general election. He's got loads of time. He should be concentrating on actually making himself more popular rather than trying to make somebody else less popular.
Yeah. See, if I went to you, boo, and you just ignored me, then I'm going to go boo, 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 louder, louder. And then after a while, I'm going to go away. But if you blink, that means I'm making you scared. And that's what he's done. He's shown fear. And I'm a Labour. Everybody knows I'm a Labour supporter, yeah? He's showing fear from Farage. And he's got nothing to fear from him.
Well, he does a little bit. I mean, there's an interesting polling out. I might not have time tonight, but I'll certainly mention it tomorrow if not. That... God, it's really bizarre. Ask people who they want to be Prime Minister and they will not say Nigel Farage. Ask people who they're going to vote for and they'll say Nigel Farage. I mean, it's like, what the hell is going on? But anyway, good work, Ranjit. Thanks for that. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
Just accept we need stop and search.
Straight to the point.
This is a shocking night.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
When was the last time your party was in touch with the electorate?
Listen on Global Player or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
The legendary George Smiley is back. It's spring 1963. A Russian agent has defected in the most unusual of circumstances, and Smiley will soon find himself entangled in a perilous mystery that will strike at the heart of his greatest enemy. Return to the spy world of John le Carré with the gripping Sunday Times best-selling thriller Carla's Choice by award-winning novelist Nick Harkaway. Out now in paperback.
Leading Britain's conversation. Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Oh.
You're wondering what it's all about, and I can't tell you because I don't know myself.
But this information just in on tomatoes. Tomatoes are linked to a higher level of uric acid in your blood. What, like the alien monster? That means they can be a gout trigger for some people. However, tomatoes aren't a gout trigger for everyone. In fact, tomatoes might help reduce inflammation and gout symptoms for some people. Are you kidding me? So if you want to avoid gout, you both need to eat and not eat tomatoes. God, it's like some plants. I bought a dogwood tree. And I put it in a pot. And, you know, it looks very nice, but it looked stressed. All its leaves are sort of crinkling up, and it looks like it's going to die, which would be disappointing because it costs a lot of money. Huge. And so I thought, well, I'll look it up on the World Wide Web and see what you do with a dogwood tree. And it turns out that it needs sun. But it also doesn't like sun. And it needs rain, a lot of it. But also, it doesn't like rain and doesn't want very much of it at all. And it likes wind. But it doesn't like wind. I mean, talk about picky. That's impossible. How do those things survive in the wild? I mean, they can't up sticks and just move somewhere else that they don't that might suit them better. And yet they're all over the blooming place, trees. How do they survive in the wild? Why is it so difficult to just get something to grow? I mean, if you were growing weeds, you'd have no end of success. Why do they seem to be able to survive everything? But you've spent a bit of money on something that looks nice, and I don't like it over here, it's too cold. And so you move it, oh no, it's too warm. Oh my God. Delicate flower, hothouse orchids they are, every single one of them. But you know me, I never complain.
Whinging and whining and moaning.
This says, hi Nick, I'm off to Oregon, USA next month, but only because I'm visiting my lovely auntie. My sister recently went on a cruise, which was full of Trump-loving Americans. She said it was torture. God, that would be torture, wouldn't it? To be trapped on a boat with people you don't like. That is an excellent reason never to go on a cruise. Or a train, for that matter. Just any mode of public transport. But a cruise, oh, I wouldn't be able to leave my room. Can you imagine that? Because they ain't cheap, neither. They'd be stuck on a cruise for like a week or maybe even 2 weeks, maybe even longer, full of Trump-loving Americans. Every single one of them's got a red MAGA hat on. We just want President Trump. You know, those people. I think I'd jump ship. Regardless of where it happened to be at the time, I'd just take my chances. Craig in Canada says, I've just been arrested at the tomato lobbing festival. I'd chosen the softest, squishiest tomatoes I could find. The police's concern was that I'd forgotten to take them out of the tin. These are the jokes, folks. A listener with material.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sadly. And Des in Welshpool says, I heard that reporter ask Donald Trump about TACO, as in Trump always chickens out, which is what they say on Wall Street, apparently, when dealing with his insane tariffs nonsense. They said, don't panic, you know, just wait 5 minutes and he'll change his mind. It'll be some other random number. I heard that reporter ask Trump about TACO and he did not like it. No, he didn't. He started to answer, addressing the actual substance of the question about making deals, etc., but then kept interrupting himself as his outrage at being asked such a nasty question rose to boiling point. Yeah, it did. He couldn't contain himself. He ended up saying something like, don't ever ask a question like that to the president. Well, there's no evidence that he would ever say such a thing.
Don't talk to me that way. I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
He's the leader of the free world. Can you believe that? Not free anymore. Very expensive. He said, Des says, and I had so wished that the reporter would have stood up and interrupted him, shouting, I'll ask any bleeping question I choose because I'm your boss. We're all your boss. You are our president, not our king. But yeah, she didn't do that. Shame, really. I think that reporters have to start acting in concert with each other. Because it is most definitely us against them. And Trump does the same thing with every reporter whose question he doesn't like. First of all, he asks them, where are they from? Which organization are you from? Who am I going to exact revenge against next? I'll stymie some deal that they're trying to make by combining one company with another that needs regulatory approval. That's happening in with one company at the moment. Or I'll revoke your citizenship, or just some. It doesn't need to make any sense, but he'll do it anyway because he's on a revenge mission. His entire life, has been about revenge. Richard Branson said this. He said, we had lunch or some meeting, and Branson said, I came out of that meeting more despondent and depressed than at any meeting I've ever had with anybody. He says, all he talked about was exacting revenge against people who he had been slighted by. He's the absolute opposite of the kind of person who should be given any kind of power over anybody. And we've given him total control over the world. I'd say the human race has taken a wrong turn. I think we'd better think it out again before it's too late. But reporters have to start sticking together, because otherwise he's just going to pick them all off one by one. I mean, I know they're in competition with each other, but this is a fight for survival now, not a fight for ratings. And he's going to pick them off one by one, because that's what wannabe dictators do. He's going after the universities, the smart people. Don't want that. Don't want people thinking for themselves. You just want them to believe the word of the dear leader. But smart people don't do that. They hear something that's obviously wrong, and they'll say, no, that's obviously wrong. Which is why they're gutting universities and they're going after schools, and they want schools to teach patriotism, which means adhering to the word of the dear leader. That's what that means, as far as they're concerned. They don't mean sticking up for America or being proud of your country. They mean believing what the dear leader says. That's what their version of patriotism is. And so journalists have to pick up the question that he just shot down. And it amazes me that they don't do that. It'll be something like that, or something pertaining to some fantastical lie that he's just told. And he'll pick on the reporter who asked the question and said, where are you from? The obvious threat being, I will get you fired. And he shoots them down and it says, very nasty and very mean, which is, like baby talk. And then goes on to the next person. And the next reporter will ask the question that they have been thinking of asking all that time. And it'll be, whatever it is, doesn't matter. What they should do is ask the question that he has just dismissed and back him into a corner. Because, taco, Trump always chickens out. And he does. Stand up to him and he backs down. Just ask, ask any of the leaders that he's done business with. Ask Qatar. Ask Vladimir Putin, who he so wants to be, so desperately wants to have have total control. But, in America he hasn't got that yet. I mean, they're working on it, but he hasn't got it yet. And so they do still have reporters who at present don't fear that their lives are in danger for asking an impertinent question. And I just find it very disappointing, really, that reporters haven't figured this out yet, that they're working in their own best interest to back each other up. Because if he can just keep doing that, then they aren't going to get anywhere. They're never going to get the truth at all, ever. And he'll just silence them one after the other. and he throws one news organisation out. Was it Associated Press or Reuters? One of those. One of the legacy news organisations he threw out in favour of some guy who sells... He's only taking questions now from men who sell pillows. Come on, reporters, stick together. Do your job. Hold power to account. 0345-6060-973. Oregon is nice, by the way, from that, going to the front of that... that rant. Oregon is beautiful. Off to Oregon next month to visit your lovely auntie. Well, you should get out. Oregon's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. Certainly one of the cleanest. Oh, the air at night is just sparkles. And the if you can get a clear night in the middle of Oregon, you look up and you can see the Milky Way with the naked eye. It's amazing.
Yowza.
0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Email nick@lbc.co.uk. If you're on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC. It's 12:30. The news headlines with Tim Daly.
The head of the Prison Officers Association has told LBC he believes a weapon used to stab a prison officer was probably delivered by a drone. Police say the 25-year-old suffered serious injuries at HMP Long Larton in Worcestershire. The Ministry of Justice has declined to comment on the specific claim. A man's been arrested after a Greater Manchester police sergeant was injured during an alleged hit and run. It's believed his legs were crushed between two vehicles in Rusholme on Friday evening. And a man's been jailed after trying to steal jewels worth nearly £200,000 from Claridge's Hotel in London. 37-year-old Jay McGinty launched smoke grenades into the lobby and smashed a display cabinet with a sledgehammer. LBC weather, breezy for much of the country overnight with a risk of showers in the north and west, dry and mainly clear for the south and the east with a low of 5 degrees.
This is LBC.
Next time you walk their dog or feed their cat, when you pop by for a cuppa or just stop for a chat, tell your friends about pension credit. They could be missing out on an average of over £4,000 per year to boost their pension income. Pension credit also unlocks other support like help with heating costs, council tax, and a free TV licence for people over 75. Tell them to search for pension credit on gov.uk. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care, and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco. Every little helps.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Are you trying to tell me that this is your act?
Yes, this is it. This text says, I think the reason that the Spanish throw all the tomatoes at each other is because they are thrilled at the idea that global Britain can't eat them. Because they are super fresh, we can't afford them, Royal Britannia. Does that make sense? I'm not sure. Let's see now. Tooting. Hello, Jan.
Oh, yeah. Hi, good evening.
Yes,
Nick.
Jan.
Hi. Yeah, you've been speaking quite a lot about nature and trees and plants.
Yeah, bit picky for my tastes. Bit picky.
But now I wasn't thinking about tomatoes, but about trees, because apparently this is now... I like this charity, the Wildlife Trust. I think I'm going to take part in then, or it'll trigger off something in me. About 30 days wild campaign by the Wildlife Trust, inviting people. This is what they say, to fall back in love with the planet one wild day at a time.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think the planet has got a lot of ground to make up. The planet knows what it's done to make us fall out of love with it.
But Nick, it's about the trees. I was bringing up the specific about my experience about the trees outside my window, because all the trees in my road, they were cut back, you know, the branches were all cut back.
They call it pollarding, don't they?
Pollarding, yeah. And in no time, it's amazing. It's like they've put out so many leaves.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll die if they don't put out the leaves. And I've all got the stumps like some sort of tribal sculptures, you know.
Yes. Yeah, they do. They look weird, like a row of knuckles.
Yeah, they look really weird, but they've been working. I don't think trees at all are peaceful. I don't think they are. They work very, very hard. I mean, in 3 weeks, they've put out so many green leaves on these stumps.
Yeah, these little sticks. They'll chop off a huge thick branch, and then almost before you know it, they'll create a tiny little stick that comes out of this this severed limb. Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently, I've just found out that the trees have, we share 50% of our DNA with trees.
No.
Yes. I mean, this is I mean, it's extraordinary, isn't it?
We share 50% of our DNA with trees.
Except that we can't eat, what is it, red and blue light. I mean, without them, they can keep climate. That's why we've got climate change, isn't it? Because of all the forests that Earth has lost.
That's why we've got climate change, because of all the forests we've lost. I'm not sure. I think it's about the carbon that we pour into the atmosphere, in great part because we cut the trees down and now we burnt them.
Yeah, and the trees eat the they take in they manufacture. They work really hard. Nick, they work so
really hard. I know, and they look so relaxed while they're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, they look. I've got some figures here. 100-year-old beech tree will breathe in about 35 liters of air.
Air?
Yes, and then it converts certain things into sugar and through its leaves, you know, and. And then also they will,
Yes. Yeah. They will what?
No, I mean, it's quite...
You can't leave us hanging like that. What else do they do?
Well, they're eating red and blue light and they're converting it. I mean...
Wait a minute, back up. I know you said this before. Wait a minute. I know you said this before and I let it go, but I'm going to have to ask you a question about this.
Yes?
They eat red and blue light.
Through their leaves, yeah, photosynthesis.
They eat it.
Yeah, they convert it. They take it into their leaves. They convert it into sugars and things.
Which they then excrete all over you.
No, but I mean, and but they work so hard, Nick. Trees are constantly working, and at night time they're working.
Night and day, yeah. I know, we should give them a break. Give them the day off.
And they're making resins and all kinds of things, as well as their wood.
If you find a tree that isn't, if you find a tree that is not busy at that moment, give it a hug, but don't get in the way of its business. All right, good work, Jan. Keep us updated. Cheers, my dear. This says, Nick, my mistake, it was Helensburgh, near but not Glasgow, that didn't rain for 3 days. I stand corrected. Oh, there you are, you see. Nobody's going to believe that Glasgow didn't rain for 3 days straight. Impossible. This says, are you sure that grit in schools is not actually a proposed solution to free breakfasts and luncheon? Grits. Yeah, I had a bowl of grits in America. I mean, and only once.
Disgusting.
Awful stuff. It's like a bowl of, I don't know, what's a polite way of saying snot? It's like a bowl of snot. Don't say that. Just saying. It's what it was like. Ugh. I mean, gelatinous, goopy, blech. Horrible. How could you wake up in the morning and think, oh, I'd like a bowl of that? Ick. Mike in Chinley says, my wife is called Maria. She's 40 years old. Is that old? Well, not for her, I guess. It's right on the money as far as she is concerned. Being as how that is how old she is. Northampton, Marius.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I listened earlier when people referring to Donald Trump as the orangutan and the taco.
Mm.
Well, like a lot of countries do, why don't you just join the two words together?
Orangutan.
That's just a thought, you know.
I'm going to write that down.
Orang- oh, and the lady's saying that insects eat something light, that's whatever.
Yes.
Well, a couple of hundred million Americans. come on, they did.
Well, I guess so, yeah. All right, good work. Thanks a lot, Marius. He expressed himself in builder's terms.
Disgusting.
Can you believe that? So I had to protect your ears from it. It wasn't that bad. I mean, if we were on TV, you could get away with it. I bet you could get away with it if the newsreader said it. It's presidential language, that's for sure. But, you know, my glamorous assistant, he leapt into action and excised that sort of semi-rude word before you heard it. He's exercising an abundance of caution. Chris in Stubbington says, what are your thoughts on the couple in Hampshire that won £1,000 after footballs from neighbouring schools went into their garden?
What?
We moan kids spend too much time in their rooms, yet this couple complain when they're outside. So I had to look this story up, it having gone by me. Now, let's see, what's the date on this? This is the 20th of May. God, blimey, it's practically June already. Can you believe it? Am I hallucinating or is time speeding up? It's June already. I haven't done anything this year yet. How can it be June? It's slipping through our fingers. This is a couple who own an idyllic £2 million country home. Why is it that any time a house is, or even a couple, we need to know their age for whatever reason, and we need to know how much their house is worth. It's an obsession, isn't it? A couple who own an idyllic £2 million country home have successfully sued the county council after footballs were repeatedly kicked into the garden of their property. St Anne's, an impressive sprawl in Winchester, became a no-go area after a primary school built a football pitch next door. Homeowners Mohammed and Marie Ann Bakhti said the sports pitch had taken over their life with 170 footballs kicked into their garden in less than a year. Wow, that does demonstrate a certain lack of skill among the footballers, doesn't it? I mean, I know it's a junior school, but still. The couple rewarded £1,000 after the High Court ruled that the primary school's decision to build the pitch and stray balls landing in the garden amounted to a public nuisance. He's a 77-year-old property developer. He claimed he was forced to stop using his garden as a place of rest after the school deliberately built the pitch to upset the couple. They deliberately built a football pitch to upset them. Did they? He said the continuous horrendous noise of the pitch had caused her distress. And a judge ruled that while stray balls might be annoying, the frequent projection of them onto someone else's property breached common law. Wow. I'm amazed. If you told me the background of this, I would definitely not have assumed that they would have won that case. How many balls are we talking about? It doesn't say. Oh, no, 100. It's in the headline, which I usually skip. 170.
What?
170 footballs. How much does a football cost? I bet you know. How much does a football cost?
I would say probably, if you're going for a small ball...
Yes.
£10.
£10, that's what I was thinking exactly on the nose. So that's £1,700 in lost footballs. Yeah, no wonder the kids can't afford books anymore. 0345-6060-973. Where am I? Nick in Deakin said, how many more of these have I got? Oh, hey, you know what? I've almost come to the end. I can't believe it. That almost never happens. What am I going to talk about tonight when I come back? Normally I start off with all the messages that I didn't get around to last time. Chris in Stubbington says, what are you... No, read that. There's another one gone, another one gone, another one bites the dust. Nick in Deakin says, Sydney Sweeney was in the video of the Rolling Stones single from the Hackney Diamonds album. Oh, I didn't see that video. There's a video? I mean, I saw that clip, well, not a clip, the concert they did of about sort of five or six songs, and spoiler alert.
Warning, warning.
Lady Gaga joined them at the end for that fantastic song on that album. When that album came out, I couldn't listen to anything else for about a week. I just had it on permanent repeat. So good. And that Lady Gaga track that she did with the Stones is epic. But I didn't know there was a video. I'll look it up. And Joseph, Ronan, Steve and Dave says, we are sorry to have to correct you about the dark side of the moon. There is no dark side of the moon. As a matter of fact, it's all dark. That is true, yeah. 0345 6060 973, LBC.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Bull.
The Defence Secretary says increasing spending on defence to 3% of GDP is now a certainty. Do you think spending more on defence is a priority?
Clive Bull on LBC.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity. We actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Here, Sandra, listen to this email. Felicitations and unalloyed joy to you. Could you help with a small inconvenience? I possess $32 million in an account belonging to my father, the Prince. We need an honest person to bank this amount for us. We're quits in, babe.
Some things are too good to be true. The Specsavers Too Good deal isn't. Get two pairs of glasses for £70. Include single vision lenses to the same prescription. Conditions apply. Ask in store for details.
Quits in!
The Red Cross is here to deliver essentials to people who have lost everything in Ukraine.
We are here to support families enduring the food crisis in Somalia.
We're here to shelter earthquake survivors in Turkey and Syria.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, we are the world's emergency responders.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Come on, we're running late!
We are running late. Okay, here's that story that I've been carting around with me for a couple of weeks now. Seems like a dog's age. Grit. Grit is going to be taught in school. Not served in schools. Taught. School children will be taught to develop grit to overcome the pressures of life's up and down. Ups and downs, ministers have said. They're going to have grit beaten into them on a daily basis. About time, too. Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson and Health Secretary Wes Streeting said school children will be taught to develop grit as part of a new push to reduce absences caused by poor mental health. And mental health professionals are probably clutching their pearls at the very idea. Right. What, just pull yourself together? Is that what they're going to be taught? NHS data for 2023 suggests almost a quarter of children had a probable mental disorder such as anxiety or depression. That's up from 19% the year prior. A quarter. Who is coming up with these statistics? A quarter, one in five in this country has a mental disorder, approximately. One in five, more or less, that's a quarter. That seems unlikely. I mean, do they mean they have mood swings? Because that's what being a child is like. And I know that because I used to be one. And besides... And so... Right. And so this prevalence of what they call poor mental health is causing kids to be absent from school. But I used to go absent from school. And I didn't put it down to poor mental health. I just didn't like rugby. I didn't like the thought of rugby, either doing it or watching it. And so me and the other lads used to go and hang out and feed money into the jukebox of a basement cafe rather than running up and down the touchlines of a rugby pitch in the snow. Snow?
Oh, no.
Freezing blooming cold my hands were. So I thought, well, I'm not doing this again. Forget it. It's not even really a game, is it, rugby? But I didn't put it down to a mental disorder. I just didn't want to do it, that's all. And, you know, part of the reason that the government is addressing this is that they say school absences have a knock-on effect into adulthood, affecting earnings and job prospects. But there might be another side to that. I mean, it might be that kids who skive off aren't likely to be the best students. So maybe looking at a life of lower earnings is going to be in their future, regardless of whether they sit in class staring at the blackboard in incomprehension, or they have a lion at home playing and skip school entirely and play Kill 'Em All videos all day long. Figures suggest that frequent absentees earn £10,000 a year less than their peers by the time they're 28. Which they might have done anyway. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a good idea to try and address the issue in the hope that it'll do some people some good. But coincidence isn't causation. Under government plans, all pupils will have access to mental health support in school by the end of the decade, with 6 in 10 pupils having access to a mental health support team by March 2026. Interesting that we're bringing this in as America is throwing it out. Because, you know, that Donald Trump and his billionaire buddies aren't interested in poor kids' mental health. They'd rather have the tax breaks. Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson and Health Secretary Wes Streeting said that toughening up kids to face life would form part of the plan, but they wouldn't dismiss it as something children will grow out of. But what if it is something that children will grow out of? I mean, if kids are suspected of having a mental illness every time they come into school under a cloud because, you know, Harry or Lily has unfriended them on TikTok or InstaSuite, then the queue outside the therapist's office is going to be longer than for a limited edition of ugly trainers. Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson and Health Secretary Wes Streeting said, by deploying NHS-led evidence-based intervention during children's formative years, we will not only halt the spiral towards crisis, but cultivate much-needed grit amongst the next generation, essential for academic success and life beyond school, with all its ups and downs, they wrote. And you know what? I mean, I'm all for that, but there's a part of me that thinks that medicalizing each passing emotion is going to do the opposite of instilling grit. It's more likely to validate the feelings of people who think the universe should revolve around them. And every intervention reinforces their feelings that there is something wrong with them, when they might just be suffering from what's called being a teenager. And unsurprisingly, anger issues ranged among the top 10 mental health concerns reported by children contacting the service. Among boys, it was 6th, and among girls, it was 10th. Anger issues. As in, they just can't take it anymore. And I think anger comes from the internet. I mean, they are utterly addicted to their phones. They can't put them away for a second. They prefer their phones to real people. And name me an addiction that doesn't have an effect on people's mental well-being. I mean, all the bings and the bongs from their phones. I mean, this constant craving of attention from the devices in their pockets.
Bing bong.
Exactly, Donny. Just that. And the number next to your name on social media that shows you how supposedly popular you are. And the fury when some adult takes their phone away or asks them to turn it off. I mean, they just go berserk. But, you know, I'm all for counselling for children as long as we aren't creating the problem by trying to solve it. Bodmin, Malcolm.
Nick.
Malcolm.
I'm surprised at you, my friend, a psychologist and all.
I'm not a psychologist.
And I'm surprised. Well, you've got a degree in psychology. That makes you a psychologist.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It makes me someone who has a degree in psychology, which means I don't know anything about anything.
No, it makes you a psychologist because
it doesn't.
You can't. What you're trying to say in a roundabout sort of way is you can't practice psychology because you're not a clinical psychologist.
Yes.
Or you've not been in a job where you've worked under a clinical psychologist and you've played at it.
Yes.
But then the other side to you is you've been an influencer for 40 years now.
Oh, what? Influencer? Oh, no. No.
No, no, listen, for once. You've been an influencer for your adult life.
Yes.
Since you gave up psychology because you didn't like it. It seemed a bit too much like work.
Mm.
And you slipped into the entertainment business, but you're an influencer, right? You observed as well as influenced people, and
I refute the suggestion that I influence people. In what way do I influence people?
Nick, you are a huge look. You could go to certain places in the country, and your isms will be uttered all over the place. I use them all the time, and the point I make is this, right? Hmm. My daughter's she's like you. She can say, I'm not a psychologist yet, but she will be in slightly under 2 years' time because she's doing the clinical qualification now. But she's been doing psychology with kids. She was a CAMHS person, right? A child and adolescent mental health person.
Yes.
But
is this a long way around to saying that you disagree with what I just said? Or some parts of what I just said?
What I'm saying is, Nick, there are real issues. Forget the ones that they can put a name to, like ADHD and ADD and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about what government and the media are selling children, and it's killing them, literally, because the number of kids in Cornwall who died of suicide because of certain things, issues,
what things?
And so on, it's alarming.
But what things are you saying is causing it? The implication is that it's getting worse, but I'm not sure that that's true. Social media, right. Well, that's got nothing to do with government, other than the government could have done something, perhaps, to rein them in a bit. Although, now the genie's out of the bottle, it's virtually impossible. It's like saying, oh, well, we'll be able to control artificial intelligence. Yeah, you won't.
But it's not.
No,
unless the genie is put back in the bottle, then your Farages, which is the reason I rung in, and your Trumps and your Tapers.
Right, I would agree, but how would you do that? How are you going to take the phone out of their hands? You won't be able to.
You pass laws.
Okay, well, there's two problems with that. First, Donald Trump will tariff you if you try to come after an American tech company, because he's our boss now. We've taken back control and given it to him. And second, I just don't see what kind of law would take the phones out of kids' hands. How?
No, well, look, the phones can be taken out of kids' hands from 9 until 3 by schools. Then from 3 until, say, 6 o'clock, the operators, so the phone companies can have a greater influence. And then after, say, 6 o'clock, when parents are back from work, they can give the kids an hour or two supervised. Well, not supervised, but
As you're saying this, do you actually believe that that's possible, or are you just saying it in order to try to win an argument? Because I don't. I think that now we've got it. It's kind of like trying to ban printing just because you don't like some books, and there's no doubt bad books, but you can't ban printing. How would you even go about doing that? and neither can you ban the internet or ban people's access to it by phone. And any impediment you throw up in the way of a child accessing whatever, they're going to skirt around in about 2 seconds flat because they know more about it than adults do. But Malcolm, interesting. Thanks for that. Got to go. Time's up. If you missed any part of this a super show, then you should be aware that we put it up the internet as a podcast. It's on Global Player and the new LBC app. It's called Nick Abbott of the Whole Show Podcast. If you haven't got either, then you can get both Global Player and the LBC app from your app store. They're free. And with the LBC one, you can put your news categories in the order that you want. You can pause and rewind live radio and listen to a boatload of podcasts. Get the LBC app for nothing, as in free, from your app store now. Coming up at four, Henry Riley. But first, Tim Daly.
Who? No, it's me. Tim will have the news at 1 o'clock, but with me, Clive Bull, between now and four. The government's 10-year defence plan is announced on Monday, and the Defence Secretary says increasing spending on defence to 3% of GDP is now a certainty. Do you think spending more on defence is a priority? What's your view on that? Elon Musk leaves the White House. We'll have the latest on that as well. And on the subject of the White House, they're probing a voice cloning breach targeting Trump's chief of staff. We'll talk to Will Guyatt about voice cloning as well. All coming up after the news at one with Tim Daly.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play.